Good morning. My name is Steve Tomlinson, one of the teaching pastors of Shelter Rock Church. It is great to see you on this rainy day. And why I have a deep appreciation, it is a rainy day, which means your pillow is calling you to stay. It's Sunday. I do not need to actually come to church. So for those who made that choice not to come, I want to greet those watching on the internet, cuddled up in your blankets. We're still glad you're here with us. Hey, I want you to think about a time in your life in which you had to make a choice. Are you going to take the chance, or are you going to stay in your safe place? And whatever is causing you to not want to take that step, anxiety, fear, could you push through that? Could you get to the other side of that? Well, let me give you something that happened to me. I guess I was around 19 years old. And, you know, you heard Emma talking about her experience with Campus Life, Youth for Christ. Well, when I was 16 with Campus Life, that's when I felt a defining call in my life to become a pastor. My brother knew this about me, and he was actually at the time in that part of his life working with Youth for Christ. On one particular Sunday, he was the guest speaker at a church on the corner of Wolf Road and Deer Park Avenue in Huntington. Now, my poor family, every time we drive by this church today, they have to hear the story. And they all roll their eyes and they go, here goes Dad telling the story again. But why is this important? So my brother preaches at this church on a Sunday morning. And then about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he comes to my parents' house where I was living at the time. And he said, so you want to be a preacher someday? I said, yeah, I would. How would you like to preach the Sunday evening service at the church I preached this morning? What do you mean? Another day? Another time? No, at 7:30 this evening. You can deliver the message tonight. I said, they would be okay with a 19-year-old coming in who they've never met before and preaching? And he said, they would be okay because I would just drop out and they would have no choice. I said, I'll do it. And from 3 o'clock to 7, I studied, and then at 7:30, I delivered my first sermon I ever gave in my life. I recorded it on an old cassette player, and I still have that sermon. And it was my first venture into what would become my life. But I look back at that time, all the fear, all the anxiety, would I be willing to step into the fray and do it? So we've been going through this message series on dealing with our anxiety. We have had many wonderful passages that inspire us and encourage us. But in the end, tomorrow, the next day, maybe Wednesday morning, you're going to wake up and feeling anxious. You're not going to want to get out of bed for whatever reason, or just different issues in your life that you know you could cross this line, but you're afraid as to what might happen if you do. You're not exactly sure what will take place. Well, today, as we wrap up this series, we're going to look at a guy who's in that situation. Is he going to take the chance to follow God wherever God leads, or will he stay put? That guy is Joshua. That journey is to press into the promised land, literally the promised land. Before we open our Bibles, we'll open our hearts in prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for the privilege we have right now to spend a few minutes sitting at your feet to learn and see what you would say to us. We pray, Father, that because we have been here together with you, you would contextualize this scripture to our lives and answer the question, where do I need to be strong and courageous? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you have a Bible, let's open it as we look, first of all, at Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. If you're using one of our Bibles, you'll find this on page 211, any of the Bibles located around the room. Now, let me give you a context. We're actually going to be looking ultimately at Joshua, and we're going to turn into Joshua chapter 1. But before we do, I want to drop in as to what Moses has to say to the people of Israel and to Joshua before he dies. Now, it's very significant to me. I've had the privilege of going to Jordan and being on the mountaintop where Moses overlooked the Promised Land, possibly the exact location where Moses has this conversation with Joshua. So let's go into our Bibles again, drop in chapter 31, starting in verse 1, and I read this. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said, and the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed, along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Okay, Moses finishes his talk. He dies. You flip your page in the Bible, and now we are at Joshua chapter 1. Let's see what happens. Verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Have you noticed a phrase that seems to be repeated both by Moses and then ultimately by the Lord to Joshua? Everyone seems to be telling Joshua the same thing. What is that phrase? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. What this is all about is a matter of action, not feeling. We're emotive beings. All of your life, you are going to ebb and flow in anxiety, fear, wondering about doubt, should you press forward? But life is not about what you feel, it's about what you do. And Joshua is having all these feelings of apprehension. In fact, the text says he was Moses' aide. He's Moses' assistant. He was the one holding up Moses' arms when the battle was winning, when Moses' arms were up and they would come down and the battle would start going against them. He was always there providing, but now it's his moment. What is he going to do? And apparently the Lord could sense he's wavering. He's a little fearful. I mean, understandably, the Promised Land happened to be occupied already. with people that had armaments and tall walls and were perceived as giants in the land. And now, what is Joshua going to do? Ultimately, it's about what he does, not what he feels. But it brings a great question for you and I to ponder this morning. What is fear and anxiety keeping you from? What is fear and anxiety keeping you from? What is out there? There may be a guy or two in this room who has a money down on a ring for a person you'd like to ask to marry you, but it's a little scary. Is she going to say yes? What is she going to do? It could be a application that you filled out. Should I apply to this college? Oh, they'll never take me. They would never accept me. Should I put in for this job? I'm not sure they'd ever view me as worthy, able to do this. Wherever this is, whatever that issue is in your life, this word is for you. Be strong and courageous. What would you fill in to answer that? Now, let's look at a definition of courage, shall we? If you just Google the word, this is what you will find. I love this definition. The ability to do something that frightens one. Okay. I'm still scared, but I'm doing it anyway. 2, strength in the face of pain or grief. Synonyms, these are powerful. Bravery, courageousness, pluck, pluckiness, valor, fearlessness, intrepidity, nerve, audacity, boldness, heroism, gallantry. Man, I want those words associated with me. That would be really cool. That would be exciting. But you know what? Sometimes I can be a scaredy cat. Ever hear that term? I don't know how many of you have cats. How many of you have cats? Raise your hand. Boldly. Be proud, people. I have 2 of them, okay? They're not literally mine, but I feed them every day. So I view myself, they view me as Jehovah Jireh. I am the provider for these cats. But here's what I've observed. We have like the food bowls right at the base of the kitchen counter. And sometimes in the kitchen counter may be an empty milk carton. You know, it's just waiting for recycling and it's just sitting there. But because I'm working on the counter, I knock it off by mistake. And it falls right where the cats are munching out. Do the cats like, oh, it's only a milk container, no big deal. No, the milk container has fallen and they're scattered, they're hanging from the ceiling, you know, they're scared, what's going to happen? But my favorite moment, and just happened yesterday, when my wife goes to the closet and takes out the vacuum cleaner. And the cat's like, oh no, the vacuum has come. We will die. We will be sucked up into it. It's like nothing changes. I mean, how long have these cats been around? The vacuum has not sucked them in yet. And yet they are frightened. This is us. This is our real world. But you know what this is all about? This passage, this picture captures what this passage is about. It is that little scaredy cat who has an incredible, great profile, the lion. You see, Joshua feels a lot like this cat. He's frightened. We know this from the repetition of the people encouraging him, people who know him. Moses saying, be strong and courageous, brings Joshua in front of all the people and says to him, be strong and courageous. Then God reminds him, Moses, my servant, is dead. It's now your turn. Be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. This is the word to Joshua, but you know what? It's a word to us. How can we, feeling weak, not feeling very bold, press on? Because you're going to have anxiety. You're going to have fear. But the word of God gives you a reason to move forward regardless. And what I'd like to do is give you an overview of what we're going to talk about today from this passage. What are the tools to press on through anxiety? And here they are. The first is great examples in your life. In this case, Moses. The second is a genuine sense of divine presence where you really believe that God is near you, with you. And a germination or germinate, begin to grow through meditating on Scripture. There is an active thing that you and I can do. So let's take a look at great examples to start us off with. And that is Moses to Joshua. Let's turn back to that passage. Chapter 31, verse 7 and 8. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all of Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." You know what I would encourage you to do is to sit down with the people in your life like Moses and allow their encouragement to speak truth to you. Are there people like that in your life that inspire you? I mean, Moses, he could tell story after story about God's strength, God's provision. And Joshua had this. He saw many of these miracles with his own eyes. Is there somebody in your life who draws this out of you? It's like, tell me another story about what God did in your life. And you think to yourself, I don't have anyone like that. But you know what you do have? You have books. There are books written, hundreds of books, thousands of books, that can inspire you and cause you to be more than you are. Here's an interesting story that is not known to a ton of people. What is Martin Luther King Jr.'s favorite speech, most known speech? What's it called? I Have a Dream. Okay. So he wrote this speech to deliver on the mall, the Lincoln Memorial. But do you know that whole memorable section that everyone remembers to this day came because somebody was standing behind him, Mahalia Jackson, who whispers, actually she says it kind of boldly behind him, "Tell them about the dream, Martin." You see, it was blowing in the breeze up there. He's a little nervous, you know, what's going to happen? But this person who had been a comfort, who had been a strength to him, this woman says, "Tell them about the dream." To which Martin then begins, "I have a dream." Now, that's the part of the message we all remember. You know what I take note of? There was somebody behind him cheering him on. Who's behind you cheering you on? Enabling you to think beyond what you would normally think, what you would normally take into account. We need a Moses in our life. Joshua needed a Moses in his life. You know, I'm into various movies, and there's a great guy movie, came out a number of years ago, called Braveheart. Now, it takes place in old England, and there is this scene in which there's this ragtag group of soldiers, and they're facing the British army there, the English army, who are all in armament, all well-armed, and they have their pitchforks and spears. And it seems hopeless. So people are saying, "We should run, and then we'll live." But William Wallace comes out, and he gives this speech, and it goes something like this. "Ah, fight, and you may die. Run, and you'll live at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?" Now, when you're a guy watching the scene, at this point, you're off your couch and you're like, yeah, let's do this. And you're like ready to take on the world because this is like such an amazing scene. But you know what that's all about? Is somebody speaking hope. Somebody speaking words of belief into your life. We all need this. And I think to myself, that boy, 19-year-old, who has just been told, "Do you want to preach your first sermon? You have 3 hours to prepare." How did I get the pluckiness to do that? And I think back to myself, you know what? I did have a pretty courageous dad You know one of my favorite stories of my dad is before he got married to my mom. So he wants to impress her. You know, you're trying to woo this woman to be your wife. So there was this big youth rally in Times Square. The year was 1948. And the Times Square was filled with thousands of people for this Christian youth rally. They shut down the whole thing for this rally. My father is a student at music school in New York City, which is eluding me at this moment. What was that? Juilliard, thank you. Thank you so much. I remembered the previous sermon. I'm like, why is this not sticking into my brain? Juilliard. And his expertise was trumpet. So he talks his way to the leadership of this event. I would an excellent trumpet player, and I think I should play the prelude before the event begins. He talked his way onto the stage. My mother, who at the time was 17 years old, thinks, is that Homer? You know, the guy she's dating on the stage right now? And it was. That boldness, that crazy confidence to talk his way on the stage, I heard this story growing up. I was exposed to this, and I think that was a part of my willingness to take a chance. My father was, for me, kind of like that Moses. You're the one filling the stories, the cheerleader, to help somebody believe. So think to yourself, do you have a Moses in your life? And if you don't, what books are you reading? What things are you viewing that inspire you to be beyond what it seems might be your natural ability? The next thing that I notice is this genuine sense of divine presence. Genuine sense of divine presence. Look at verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. That's powerful words. But how do you make that more than just a lucky charm? See, some of us have like a little Jesus on our dashboard. You know, and this is like, oh yeah, he's with me. He's 3 inches tall and he sits on my dashboard. You know, I had this brother, the one who was inspiring me to preach with 3 hours notice. Well, he was the guy I looked up to as a kid. And so I'm a little kid and he's listening to the radio. Now, some of you may be old enough to remember this, but back in the early 70s, there was a show on, 66 was the call letters, WNBC, and the host was Imus in the Morning. Now, Imus in the Morning used to have these little skits that they would do from time to time. And the one I remembered really well, and I'm going to give it to you, I'm going to actually sing the jingle for you. It was of the Reverend Billy Sol Haggis. Now, it would always be some funny thing about the Reverend Billy Sol Haggis, but it always began with the same jingle. Here it goes. Well, I don't care if it rains or freezes as long as I have my plastic Jesus riding on the dashboard of my car. I can go 100 miles an hour as long as I got the almighty power glued up there by my pair of fuzzy dice. And as soon as that song came on, you knew, ooh, the Reverend Billy Sol Haggis is coming on. You know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be enjoyable. My problem, my fear is that's the extent of what people think when it comes to the presence of God. A little good luck charm. I wear a cross around my neck. I have a little figurine somewhere. I have a picture in my house. What I have observed is to actually believe in the manifest presence of God requires an activist approach on our part. Now, what would that consist of? Well, a woman came up to me after the first service and said, Pastor Steve, how do I live in the presence of God? Now, she's from a Jewish background. So I said, well, let's talk about Judaism for a moment. She said, sure. So in your knowledge, the Reformed Jewish community, how are they doing on Long Island? She said, well, they're closing up synagogues all over. Yeah, they are. How about the conservative Jewish community? Same thing, closing up. How about the Orthodox community? She said, well, they're doing pretty good. Now, okay, that's good. So they're doing pretty good. Why is that? And we thought about it. Well, they have the phylactery, the scripture on the wrist, scripture on the forehead. They have the prayer tassels, which they wear. What do they think about going to public school versus going to the Jewish school? Well, they want to have their kids go to the Jewish school. Why do you go when you enter into their house? There's a little piece of Torah on the doorway as you're coming in. What do they think about you dating somebody who's not Orthodox? Oh, stay away from that. Before you know it, you come to realize, why has the Orthodox community remained stable and solid? It is because everywhere they turn, it's supporting what they believe to be true. So I want you to do an audit of your life. If you're struggling knowing the manifest presence of God in your life, what is there to inspire you? You take a quick walk into my office downstairs. You know what you're going to notice on the wall? On one place, you're going to see the Declaration of Independence. Why do I have that on the wall? It reminds me that 56 people signed their name and said, I will die a traitor if we lose this, but I believe in this much that I will put my name on it. You turn to the other angle, you see a needlepoint copy from Corrie Ten Boom, who survived a concentration camp. On it, it says, Jesus is victor. You turn another corner, you see George Washington kneeling in Valley Forge praying. You turn another corner, and there's a map of the world, which reminds me of our missionaries that are in the Middle East, that are in Mozambique, that are in Mongolia, that are in all over. And I look at these things, and they're symbols to me. I wake up in the morning, and my radio goes off to Caleb to give me an inspiring word the moment I wake up in the morning. And then I open my computer and read all these things, feeding me, encouraging me that God is near me. I am not alone. And I need that. Because if you're trying to say, oh yeah, I believe that God is present, but there's nothing in your life feeding the presence of God, don't be surprised if you don't feel His presence. We need to be to have the accoutrements of God's presence all over in everything we do and how we do it. And that's what's going to make a difference of understanding it and feeling it in our life. Which brings me to the last one, which is this. Germinate, begin to grow through meditating on the scripture. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So every single week during the series, what have we given you? Scripture cards. Every week. You've got a ton of them now. And every time we've given you six different scriptures to reflect on. So what difference does it make having these cards? Well, you can just have them. They could be sitting on the bottom of your car. You're going to find them over the weeks to come. Oh yeah, here's those scripture verses because they got caught somewhere and they'll just appear. But how about, case in point, you have it in your car, all right? And you're not supposed to text and drive, but there's nothing wrong about memorizing scripture and driving. You know, that's not against the law. So you get stuck at one of these long lights, Plan Dome Road and Northern Boulevard. Long light. You got to wait the whole cycle to go through there. So you take the little card and you read this. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. Oh, it's green. Good. So I go on, but I made my left turn, and now I'm at the corner of Shelter Rock Road and Northern Boulevard. Another light. I need to be patient. Okay. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. You know what's going to happen? Before you finish getting to where you're going, you will have memorized a verse. And you know what? You could be in a situation where you think, I'm not sure I'm going to make it. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. But you have some verses stuck in your head now that will carry you through just when you need it. They will be your strength. They will be your encouragement. Are you feeding your soul? This was the instruction of none other than God Almighty to Joshua so he could take on the armies on the other side of the Jordan River. Meditate on Scripture. So this week, I took the entire staff to the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C. Brand new museum, absolutely beautiful. One of the nicest museums I've ever seen in the world. I mean, it is an absolutely beautiful museum. Six stories. And we're thinking, after having gone there, that we'll probably organize a bus trip from the church. So if you think you'd like to go, you know, when we announce it, I guess it will be a hit. We'll find out. But one of the things that they have fours on the historicity in Scripture. They have fours on how we got our Bible the way it is. But 1-4, 4-2, is the impact of Bible on culture. And they have sections where you see a fireman talk about what it's meant to him, where you see a doctor talk about what it's meant to him, a professor. But one of the things that they had was this room that you can go into and go through all these songs that have Scripture in them. And so you just sit in the room, and they're pop songs. So you can hear U2 singing, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned and heard my prayer." This is Psalm 40. And the song is called 40. Or you can hear Squeeze singing, "Tempted by the fruit of another." That's from Genesis chapter 3. And it gives you where every verse is from on each of these songs. But I was thinking to myself, that is how we germinate, is that we're surrounded by Scripture, from the songs that are coming into our ears, from the things we are viewing on television, from the things we are reading, from the conversations we are having. Before you know it, you are finding these words are just flowing off your lips, and Christ is entering all of you, and you are becoming bolder and more confident as you take each step. So, how does this unfold in a daily life? Well, I'll give you an example, which I'm living right now with our church. You may have heard that we have partnered with Central Presbyterian. So let me tell you a little bit of the story. So this past summer, I'm riding around my scooter, and I'm passing all these dying churches. And it breaks my heart when I look at these churches. And I'm talking to the Lord as I'm riding. I said, "Lord, look at these churches. Why can't they be life in them?" And I said to the Lord, "You know, if they only gave me the keys, I'd run that church the way it should be run." And I felt the Lord say to me, "So you're saying it's about you? You're the guy who comes in and fixes everything." Well, by the way, if you're ever in a conversation with the Lord and it comes up that it's all about you, do not go down that path. He said, "No, Lord, it is your church. I understand that." So I felt the Lord say to me, "What if you were just going to come alongside a church? It's still their church, but you help them be what they have not been." And I said, I'd be open to that, Lord. So that very same month, last July, there's a concert at the Syosset campus by our youth band, Pursuing JC. Now, the concert is filled. It was a lively concert. A senior citizen comes up to me after the concert, and he says, "Hi, I'm one of the board members of Central Presbyterian Church. Would you be willing to consult with us? Because we're really struggling." Now, mind you, that little vision while riding my scooter, and now somebody's coming up and asking, would I help? And I said, "Yeah, I'd be very open to that." Now, Central Presbyterian, what is this church? This is where Jack Crabtree attended for years. In the 1970s, this was one of the biggest evangelical churches on Long Island. But now they have about 70 people, average age 70. And so we had meetings with their board. Starting on January 1st, we took over the management of the church. Pastor Nathan is preaching there this morning. But let me tell you what's been happening. The first week, right before, they had 70 people. Last Sunday, they had 116 people that were seeing movement. So Pastor Nathan told me, "We did have a complaint last week." I said, "Really, what was the complaint?" One of the 96-year-old people came up to me and said, "When you do the song that you did this week, Soon and Very Soon, could you do it with a faster tempo?" Yes, we could. You know, we're trying to go delicately and help them step by step. But let me ask you, from a pastor's perspective, was I scared about the possibility of stretching Shelter Rock Church resources to put an umbrella over another church? Absolutely. Everything that you do in faith is scary. But then you think, be strong and courageous. My presence goes with you. And I think, is this God's will that a church would thrive on Long Island? Yeah, I don't really have to do a lot of brain cells to get that conclusion, that it would be God's desired will for a church to thrive on Long Island. So you take the step, you take the chance, and you move forward in the midst of your fear, in the midst of your anxiety, you're taking those steps. So how did Joshua do with this? Did he do okay? Well, I want you to fast forward in Joshua's life. The scene now is by chapter 10. They have fought numerous battles. Joshua did take the chance. This will not be in the screen, but in verse 25 of Joshua chapter 10, listen to Joshua speak to his people. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. This is what the Lord will do to all the enemies you are going to fight. He gets it. He's believing it. He's now preaching it. Well, fast forward now to the end of Joshua's life. The scripture says that he was stricken in years, which means he's very weak. He's not a strong person in his old age. He's very, very frail. But even though he's frail in his body, his words are strong. And now he becomes the Moses. This is what he says. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away your gods of your ancestors' worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's his declaration at the end of his life. In the beginning, Joshua, this is Moses talking to you. Be strong and courageous. Moses dies. Joshua, this is the Lord talking to you. Be strong and courageous. Then Joshua becomes the champion. And at the end, he becomes that Moses figure to a nation saying, I will follow the Lord. Life is challenging. You will have anxiety. You will have fear. But the next step is up to you. Will you take that step of faith and say, no, I'm going to press on. I'm going to move in and take the land because it's out there waiting for me. Would you bow your heads? Father, we recognize that maybe the first important step for anyone to take is that step of faith to enter into a living relationship with your son, Jesus. Because all this conversation really is moot unless we understand ourselves as a part of your family, your kingdom. But Father, most of us here have called on your name for our salvation, but we're looking for that bravery to wake up in the morning with anxiety and fear and choose to face this day in confidence. Not because we have all our emotions in order, but because we believe that you're present with us and we have saturated ourselves with your word. Toward this end, Lord, make us stronger. Help us to see that which we do not see with natural eyes, that in the end, we might be glimmers of light in this darkened world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.